out, and away we go.
Scott and Rick.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that.
Andy and Sunday have crashed. They've got into each other.
I wasn't listening. No idea what you're speaking about.
This is the F1 Podcast. Two Soft Compounds.
Hello and welcome to Two Soft Compounds. I am Scott Hughes.
I'm Rick Horton.
And we are going to be catching up with our stats man a little bit later on. We've got Nicky on from @LightsOut on Twitter with all the stats. And we're here to preview the French Grand Prix at the Circuit Paul Ricard.
Yes, it's a circuit that was used regularly in Formula One, but in the years since it was used regularly, we've only been back there once, which was last year. And in the intervening years, they developed it into a test track. So it's just basically one slab of tarmac with lots of different track configurations painted onto it. And when you see the race on Sunday, you'll see lots of blue stripes around, which effectively is the runoff, but there's no gravel traps and there's no walls. One thing the blue stripes will be good at is disguising the Williams cars. So we won't have to watch them as they struggle at the back of the field.
It looks very pretty from above, I've noticed. I've seen a few aerial shots and you think, oh, that's a lovely looking circuit because they've got all these lovely lines. But like you say, it's just a bit of a strange way of doing it. I imagine the paint is kind of anti-tyre, is it? So when you drive over it, you kind of, it's not the ideal surface.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But if you looked at last year's race, on the opening lap, there was about 12 cars that just took to the blue paint so they didn't crash into each other. So in that respect, it's kind of like, it's not really a proper racetrack in my eyes, isn't it? And there's no contours, there's no gradient change really, and there's no geographical features around, you know, like, you know, nice grassy banks or trees or anything. It's a Sainsbury's car park race is what it is.
It is very much like a car park, you're right. I'm just laughing at you going off on the scenery. Oh, there's no trees, there's no, just terrible. I can't.
As a keen railway modeller, there's just not enough topiary around for my liking, quite frankly. You know what, I played this track on my PlayStation Formula One game last night, because I knew we were doing a podcast today.
And how did you get on?
I enjoyed driving it. I won the race, of course. It's very fast, actually. It's a lot faster than I remember it from being last year, but it is very fast. And there's some interesting corners with double apexes towards the back end of the circuit, which make it quite interesting. There's some decent overtaking opportunities as well. So I think it's going to be a decent race by all accounts. You know, we're still in that period of being towards the middle of the season now when we're seeing the full strengths of the cars. Obviously, Mercedes virtually running away with the whole thing again this year. Ferrari showed promise in Canada, which was a track we thought they would do. And then obviously the controversy with Vettel's penalty point. I hear they're appealing that or asking for a review. So they're not appealing the penalty. That will stand. He will still get second place in the race. They're appealing, I think, the points on his license.
Right.
So like me and you, 12 points and you're out. Mm-hmm. He got 2 points for the penalty in Canada, and that's what they're appealing against or asking for a review of, which won't make any difference to the current standings, but it'll just mean he has more time to be a naughty boy between now and the end of the season.
A lot of these modern tracks, they kind of merge into one, don't they, like you were saying? And I feel like I'm sometimes watching some Grand Prix and I'm like, oh, this is this track with that corner. Or, you know, there's the obvious ones like Spa and Silverstone that you know very well from memory, obviously Monaco as well. But then there's these new modern tracks where you kind of like, oh, and they all look the same. They've all got that same feel, that same kind of layout, like you say, no gradients, no bumps. And the only thing that sets this one out is those blue lines. And
well, one thing that Bernie Eccleston would love about this track is it has its own inbuilt sprinkler system.
Is it?
Yes. So when they tested cars there and manufacturers would turn up with their latest model, they could test it under all kinds of different conditions, including a wet track. That would be nice if they pop the sprinklers on Sunday afternoon.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds.
Now, you mentioned just now that obviously Canada, we were expecting it to be a Ferrari track. We thought that Ferrari might win there. They didn't, obviously. We know about that. We know about the controversy that happened there. Do you think that potentially Mercedes could win every single race this season? Because obviously they've been very strong where we thought they were going to be strong, but they've also been strong where we weren't expecting them to be as strong. So potentially, I think what the record was it 16 out of 17 races? McLaren, wasn't it, in the 90s? But can they go better? Can they win every single one of the 21 races, do you think?
I think you'd be a silly man to bet against them. I think, you know, they keep pulling out of the bag. So, yeah, they definitely could. One thing that's starting to really get on my nerves, it got on my nerves before the season started, was Toto Wolff saying he expected this to be a really difficult season. And then before every single race weekend, he says, this could be our biggest test yet. And I'm like, all right, enough of trying to bluff us all. We know you've got the fastest car. When he came off the back of Canada, the first comment he said was, this is the toughest weekend we've ever had. Well, no, it's not. You won the race. Ferrari say they're bringing some new upgrades to this race, but only a few small tweaks. So interesting to see what they will be come Sunday.
There was a big kind of move around as well of technical staff, wasn't there, at Ferrari? I think they've had a little rejig of who they're putting where and in what roles and stuff. So whether this is, you know, the new boss kind of finally saying, OK, we need to change a few people around here and stuff. But it's all too little too late for this season, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems to be. I mean, they've got a strategist at Ferrari who we've seen in plain sight make major errors throughout the season and in qualifying. As far as I know, that guy's still in place as the head strategist, so that worries me slightly. And Binotto, you know, he's so laid back. It's just, you know, he's so laid back. When he was interviewed after Canada, it was like he'd just got out of a deck chair and was going for a 99, you know. It was like, I don't, or Cornetto it should be, shouldn't it? But it just seems, you know, is he too laid back for that job? Is he the man that can take the bull by the horns at Ferrari and lead them in the right direction? I'm not sure.
I mean, we've said it before, haven't we, that he was, a lot of people wanted him to be the boss. And we've said, you know, is he ruthless enough to be in that role? A lot of people obviously got on well with him. You know, I could name 10 people that we work with here and I go, oh, I'd love them to be my boss because they're my mate, but they wouldn't make the best boss. They would be great for me personally because they're a mate of mine, but they wouldn't make the best boss. And that's maybe the problem, that, you know, whether he's the right man for the job or not. And of course, he spends his weekends at Hogwarts being the Italian Harry Potter.
Yeah, he does.
Hey, look at me on my broomstick.
Two Soft Compounds.
Right then, let's hear from our stats man this week. You can follow him on Twitter at Lights Out. He's got some great stats as always. Some pre-race stats for the French Grand Prix. Here is Nicky.
It's round 8 of the 2019 season and Formula 1 heads to southern France for the 16th F1 race at the Paul Ricard circuit and the 88th running of the French Grand Prix. This will be the 60th French Grand Prix to be held as part of the F1 World Championship. There are a number of milestones this weekend. After celebrating his 300th appearance in Monaco, this weekend marks Kimi Raikkonen's 300th Grand Prix start. It'll also be McLaren's 850th Grand Prix appearance. Meanwhile, Mercedes will equal the number of races entered by the BRM and March teams, while Haas will equal Maserati's number of Grand Prix appearances. The 70th and final appearance for a Maserati car was at the 1960 US Grand Prix. There are two more milestones on the line for Mercedes this weekend. A pole position would see them become the fourth most successful team by way of pole positions in F1 history. Having taken all but two poles so far this year, they are currently on 106 total starts from the front of the grid, one behind Lotus's tally. Meanwhile, a win for the team will be their 10th consecutive victory, having won every event since last year's Brazilian Grand Prix. That would see them equal their own personal best of consecutive wins, which they've done twice before. They won 10 races in a row between the 2015 Japanese and 2016 Russian Grand Prix, and won a further 10 in a row between the 2016 Monaco and Singapore Grand Prix. If it weren't for Hamilton and Rosberg taking each other out on lap 1 in Spain in 2016, they would have likely won 21 consecutive Grand Prix. A victory this weekend would also set Mercedes up to equal McLaren's record of 11 consecutive wins next weekend in Austria. Lewis Hamilton is the only driver on the 2019 grid to have previously won at this track. If he wins again this weekend, he'll join Alain Prost and Nigel Mansell as the only drivers to have secured multiple wins at the Paul Ricard circuit, and will be the only driver other than Prost to have taken consecutive wins at the track. Prost won here four times, once in 1983 and then three times consecutively between 1988 and 1990. Prost is the driver to have won his home Grand Prix the most times, with six wins on home soil in total. It's a record which Hamilton could equal later this year at the British Grand Prix. No driver has more French Grand Prix victories to their name than Michael Schumacher, who was victorious eight times when the event was held at the Magny-Cours circuit. That's the all-time record for the most wins at the same circuit in F1. The 1996 French Grand Prix held there has two bits of interesting F1 history attached to it. Firstly, it was the last time a French driver finished on the podium at home, with Jean Alesi finishing in third place. Secondly, the 1996 French Grand Prix was the last F1 race to not feature a world champion on the grid. Schumacher qualified on pole but failed to start the race due to engine problems. The race wasn't entirely championless though. Future champions Damon Hill, Jacques Villeneuve and Mika Hakkinen all finished in the top 5 on that day. Finally, some pole sitter stats for this track. 9 of the 15 races here have been won from pole, while 11 have been won from the front row of the grid. Ayrton Senna in 1986 and Nigel Mansell in 1990 are the only occasions where the pole sitter has failed to finish a race at the Paul Ricard track. The furthest back win here is from 5th on the grid. It's happened twice, for Ronnie Peterson, who scored his debut victory here in 1973, and for Nelson Piquet, who won from 5th on the grid in 1985.
Leaving screeching skid marks all over the place. Two soft compounds.
Yep, thank you, Nicky, our stats man. If you want to check out his blog, by the way, you can find him at Lights Out on Twitter, and he's got a blog and a website and just amazing stats and facts about little pie charts and all sorts of good stuff on there, isn't it?
Yeah, amazing. Definitely worth following on Twitter during the race as well, because he comes out with in-race facts and stats, which are amazing. Let's take a look then at some of the teams and drivers who need to make improvements this weekend in France. The Haas team is a real mystery. Well, is it a mystery? I'm not sure. The Haas team were challenging for fourth place in the championship last year, and this year we thought they'd go one better and be the best of the rest. They've got the Ferrari engine in the back of the car. We know they've got talented drivers. Romain Grosjean hasn't made as many mistakes this season so far as he did last year. If you remember last year, it was this track where he binned it in qualifying and had to start from the pit lane. So they've got everything going for them, good team around them. They're the team that's probably been complaining about the tyres the most, because this year this tyre problem seems to be apparent from everyone apart from Mercedes. So the Pirelli tyres seem to work instantly on the Mercedes cars, and the other teams are having trouble getting them to the right working temperature, or the right window is how they phrase it. So Haas in particular seem to have really struggled with their tyres in race pace. So in qualifying, not too bad, but come the race, they really struggle to switch those tyres on, as have all the other teams. Helmut Marko this week was talking about conspiracy theory involving Pirelli and Mercedes. And Mercedes said, well, hang on, every team did the Pirelli tyre test last year, but they say that the thinner tread on these new 2019 Pirelli tyres favours the Mercedes over everyone else. Then there's a larger conspiracy that Liberty Media, who run the sport now, have Mercedes staff cars fitted with Pirelli tyres. And, you know, the conspiracy theories around Formula One are always there. But do you think that the other teams struggle on tyres compared to Mercedes?
Yeah, the whole tyre thing annoys me, if I'm honest, because when I think about when I was growing up and I was watching Formula One in the 80s and the 90s, there was never heard a conversation from a driver of, oh, I need to protect my tyres for the next few laps, or the engineers saying, listen, guys, you know, take it easy on the tyres, don't wear them out. And it's just like, why are we in this place where this is happening? They're brand new tyres that are going on these cars. And they should, in my opinion, they should just make an amazing race tyre that will just go and do whatever it needs to do. And then at a certain point, the sweet spot will drop off because, you know, that's a racing tyre sort of thing. You can only do a certain amount of laps on these tyres. But at the moment, it's like, well, you know, we can't get them hot enough. Then they're too hot. Then they've gone off the cliff too quickly. Then they're back on the cliff again. And then the set that we didn't think were going to be good are actually good because they've been scrubbed in. And this other set that we thought were new were not as good as we thought they were. It's like, what's all this? It's just, and I think they tried to add an element to it. And, you know, when they took the refueling out and all that, they were like, well, we need to spice it up. Let's do something with the tyres. For me, if you're going to do that, you need to have two tyre manufacturers, I think. And I think when you had, was it Bridgestone versus Michelin? When you had that going on, that tyre war, what was fascinating about that was you pick your tyre before you start the season. Obviously, you do a deal, as you would do with the engine and gearbox and all that stuff. So you do a deal with a tyre maker. That's your tyre for the year. Some tracks favoured the Michelin tyres. Some tracks favoured the Bridgestone tyres. That was how it was. When they first announced that they're going to have a single tyre and it was going to be Pirelli, I thought, oh, this actually could make it, you know, could be quite good, make it a lot fairer. But it's, for me, it's not gone that way. It's gone the other way, and it's just become very boring and mundane. And for me, whatever they're doing with these tyres is not right, and it's not fun to watch.
It's weird because it's kind of our fault as fans. We said, well, it's too easy to drive the cars, the tyres are too good, so we need some difference. And that's when we had all these stupid compounds and colours and everything else. Now we've reduced the number of compounds, but we're still finding that, yeah, tyres work for some and don't work for others. It would be nice just to have a tyre that works when you stick it on the car, so we can see some proper head-to-head racing going on.
Well, like you say, there was this medium, hard, soft, medium, soft, ultra soft, super soft. Super soft to me after 10 pints, but all the others were tyres. And it's just, it's not, you know... It's not helped. It's not done anything. But while we're on that subject, DRS as well, I find it bores me. Like, why have we got this artificial way of overtaking? And what really winds me up about DRS is they'll say, like, you know, Hamilton's about to overtake Vettel because he's, you know, within a second behind him here and he can use DRS. But Vettel's also got DRS because there's a back marker half a second in front of him. And it's like, well, what's the point? Like, you know, they've all got DRS. It becomes a computer game, isn't it? And it lacks that whole, you know, the 80s and 90s where they were real proper driving skill and proper mechanical cars. Everything's so technical and gimmicky, and it just annoys me, all that sort of stuff.
Franz Todd from Toro Rosso this week said, there's been talk of people saying the cars are too easy to drive. He says they're not, and it's just the extreme fitness of the drivers these days with their regimented diets and exercise regimes that means they make it look really easy when it's actually not. School's out on that one for me. I still think they're probably a lot easier to drive now than they were in the 80s and 90s, that's for sure.
You know, you and I would get in a Formula One car, it'd be a struggle.
I wouldn't fit.
That's going to say, they'd have to shoehorn us both in. There'd be a lot of blubber hanging out the side of the cockpit. But we would get in and we would be rubbish and we would be humongously off the pace. You know, I've said to you before, I've done these MR2 races. When we go to a new circuit that I've never raced at before and I've not been in the car for a while, I'll get in the car. The first time I drive it is during the qualifying, and average, I'm about 10 seconds off pole, which is a ridiculous amount of time. But that's what it is, because I've never been at that circuit. I've not driven the car in ages. But these guys have got, you know, practice days. They're in the car all the time. They've got simulator days, you know, and they've been to all these tracks before. They're allegedly the best drivers in the world. So, it should be a lot harder for these guys to drive these cars, I think.
Renault, talking about the race some more. Renault say they're bringing their A game to the French Grand Prix. It's their home race, of course, and they've got some upgrades coming. Daniel Ricciardo did quite well in Canada. The Renault seemed to be improving based on what we saw 2 weeks ago. We've already discussed Haas. Williams still at the back, woefully slow. Lots of cries I've seen on fan forums this week for Robert Kubica to go. Simply not fast enough. Maybe a bit old. Maybe not still fully recovered from the accident, which has clearly interrupted his time as a driver. The McLaren team didn't have a great time out in Canada. They had the brake problem that melted their rear suspension, which was just bizarre. Never seen that happen before. But hopefully they can have a good showing at this racetrack. And the Red Bulls, you said you saw a discussion about Max Verstappen this week about just how good he is, how much he's matured, and the fact that he may leave Red Bull.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in the paddock talking about Max being kind of like the best driver this season, even though that obviously Hamilton's doing everything he's doing. But, you know, he's not really making any mistakes, Max, and he's getting the best out of the car and he's blowing Gasly away, as we mentioned before. I think he's got a performance stipulation in his contract where he could basically terminate the contract early if they're not performing at the level he's expecting or wanting, which at the moment you'd say they're probably not. I don't know what that states. You know, do they have to win a couple of Grand Prix to be at that level, or, you know, what is that? Only he will know. But yeah, talk about him potentially leaving the team this year or next year and going to one of the other teams. Then the question is, where does he go? You know, I'm still convinced Hamilton is going to win the title this year. I think he'll win the title next year, so he'll equal Schumacher at that point. And then I think Hamilton will then go to Ferrari, having equaled Schumacher, and he'll try and win another world title with Ferrari before he retires. That's what I'm convinced. I don't know why I think that. I just think in Hamilton's mind, that would be the ultimate fairy tale if he could do that. Is Vettel going to retire? He says he's not, but his head's not in it like it was. Will he retire? What's going to happen with Bottas next season or the season after? You know, I think most drivers are contracted up till 2021, aren't they, when these rule changes come in. And I think there's going to be a huge amount of drivers moving teams.
You've got Esteban Ocon, who's the Mercedes reserve driver, who's chomping at the bit to get a race car drive for 2020. You'd think, naturally, that might be as a replacement for Bottas if he doesn't perform this season. Then we've got the Alonso rumour that's reared its head again, probably because he won Le Mans. People talking about him coming back into Formula One, but if he did, where would he go? I think the seats are pretty much sorted at McLaren now. Ferrari probably wouldn't have him, and who would they replace if Vettel didn't retire? It's silly season that's happening a little bit earlier this year.
Yeah, and I think even if you're Ferrari or Mercedes and you're looking at Alonso, even though he's potentially one of the greatest drivers, all-round drivers in the world, you've got to look and go, well, the guy's nearly 40. We've got a year or two max in him. Do we bring him back for a season or two and go, well, we've won the title with Alonso, or do we go, no, we need to concentrate on your Max Verstappens and your Leclercs and, you know, the next generation, which I think they will.
One thing I love this week is that the head honchos at McLaren said, after 4 or 5 years of frustrating development problems and issues with the hybrid era of cars, we think that the 2020 McLaren is going to hit the sweet spot. I'm like, what, 12 months before the rules completely change? Well done playing catch up there, boys.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds.
Right then, so the French Grand Prix this weekend. I'm struggling to go with anybody but Hamilton on pole at the moment. I just the guy is incredible at the minute, and I just think he's in such a sweet spot. It's incredible. So I'm going to say Hamilton pole. I'm going to go for Hamilton for the win as well. I'm going to say Bottas second. I think Bottas is kicking himself a little bit after the last race. He didn't do that great. And I think he's going to want to prove that he's still in it and still fighting for the title. So second, Bottas. Third, I will say Vettel.
Yeah, I don't think you can bet against Hamilton with this for pole or the win. He won it here last year. He knows the track very well. He's very fast at this track. Bottas needs to up his game, so having him starting second and finishing second would be the ideal situation. Will Vettel step it up after the disappointment of Canada? Will he make the difference, or will we see a re-emergence of Leclerc, who's been fading into the background just a little bit of Ferrari over recent weeks? It'd be nice to see Leclerc on the podium, but I'm hopeful that Vettel will be there, because I thought he looked so downtrodden after Canada, talking about passion and politics and all that stuff. It would be really nice to see Sebastian Vettel do well this weekend.
So the French Grand Prix is incoming. We'll be back next Tuesday to tell you all about what we thought went down.
And it's a double header next week, so we go straight from the French Grand Prix to Austria. Does that mean we do two podcasts? We haven't decided yet. Or do we do an extra long one? Or do we just keep it at the normal length and talk less? Not a clue at this moment, but thank you for listening, because last week's podcast hit the all-time high audience rate that we've ever had on Two Soft Compounds. It means a lot for your continued support. So keep hitting subscribe. Keep telling your mates who are interested in Formula One that we exist. And thank you very much, and see you next week.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds. Two Soft Compounds is a talk about media production. All opinions are our own.